Good evening. It's Dan in Little Saigon, Seattle. I guess it's the evening. It's 5:30 p.m. on this Wednesday night, February the 27th, 2019. And I gotta tell you that even though I've had some up days in recent days, and even though in some ways I'm feeling a little more optimistic about the future, I've had some setbacks. I've had some negativity, but I had some good luck. The other day, a few days ago, I think I found a church I can go to. That may seem like a small thing, finding a church. It can seem small, but for someone like myself, it might be everything. You see, I have a lot of sins, but of all my sins, I think my feeling that the human race is mostly filled with evil people now, mostly filled with demons, that people are soulless fucks, that they don't give a shit about each other. This helps. This helps me with that because, you know, the minister there, pretty cool dude, he cares. I believe that. And I believe the congregation's a good congregation. I could be wrong. They could turn out to be vampire zombies. Here's the thing about churches and congregations. They're people. I'm drinking some water if you want to know. Do I wish it was a beer? Sure, but I do not have money for beer right now, so I do not have a beer. It's that simple. Wash on, wash off, right? But yeah, congregations of churches are filled with lots and lots and lots of people, and people are not perfect. It's not exactly the title of the podcast, maybe it should be, but one of the things that I have a hard time with, in addition to judging people and judging myself, is, you know, getting this feeling that I'm the only one who's messed up. Like, I do feel like a total failure. I can't lie. In some ways, it seems almost, well, self-evident, because could I have a job as a software engineer right now someplace? Probably. But it would depend upon me becoming a person that, I don't know, I guess I'm unwilling to become. I could be working right now making good money and having the cash to go on some computer dating site on the internet and fall in love with some woman who lives in Kirkland and has three cats. That is a possibility. I could be working a really good software engineering job right now. And instead, I'm trying to find some kind of work, and I haven't given up on programming, but I don't know. I honestly do not know how that's going to happen. It would require, like, Invasion of the Body Snatchers having a happy ending, and that's not really going to happen. There is no happy ending to that movie. Whether it's the old one or the new one. You know, it's a new one. It's Donald Sutherland staring at you, screaming with a finger, and every other freak knows you're there, and you're done. Happy ending. Yeah, Invasion of the Body Snatchers does not have a happy ending, either the original or the 70s remake, and I don't really think it's going to happen for me, but I haven't given up. But it's really easy to feel like a loser. Like, it's easy to say, I'm a failure. I am a failure in the eyes of human beings. I'm a failure in the eyes of God. I have a really screwed up mind that doesn't quite work with today's world the way it works. I haven't really bought into all the globalist bullshit, but I live in a globalist city. I live in a city that thinks of itself as an international city, not even as the United States of America. Not that I give a fuck. Not that I think the empire means anything. But ultimately, yeah, I grew up in Washington State, and I got these weird backwards notions of what it once was and what it is becoming. And it's not just about Indians and Chinese people, but it kind of is also. You know, this used to be a different city. Is it racist to say that I prefer it the way it used to be? For some people, it would seem racist. For me, it just seems like an opinion. other people like it the way it is today? Do I hate all Indian people? No. Do I love all Indian people? No. Same applies to Chinese, Italians, you know, Protestants, Presbyterians, you name it. Pointy-headed Prussians. Do I love all Germans? Well, I've only met a few, and frankly, I haven't had great experiences with the Germanic peoples, but that's a whole nother fucking topic. But there is this general attitude in Seattle that I don't have, and because I don't, and call it the kind of, I don't know what to call it. People trivialize it by trying to say, well, it's social justice warriors or it's progressives. No, it's a bit more subtle and a bit uglier than that. There's this weird sort of belief of I call it a kind of techno-elitism. This belief that the world is better because Amazon and Google and Microsoft exist, as if there could have been no other companies but these companies. It's strange. It also tends to really overlook, you know, for the most part, I mean, barring little protests of Microsoft engineers, which are more about politics than about not killing people, for the most part, all these techno-utopians really love war. The war is good for the economy. Blowing people up is good for the economy. Boeing building death satellites would be great for the economy. Having more hypersonic nuclear missiles, good for the economy. So no, I don't fit in here. I don't. I am here because it was drown myself in the White River or go back to Seattle. And yeah, I do ask questions about that decision. I know that God would have been disappointed if it would have been the White River. So for in a sense, it is my faith in God that led me to Seattle. And perhaps this is exactly where God wants me. But in terms of fitting in, so yeah, a lot of the time I feel like a loser. I feel like the world's biggest failure. And by Seattle standards, a scumbag loser failure. A deplorable, you know, I didn't vote Republican, I didn't vote Democrat, I didn't vote the last time. I don't believe in voting. Which makes me more deplorable than the deplorables. People say, well, how can you not vote? It's like, listen, currently I don't have a choice to feed the magical crocodile, aka government. I have to. If you want to have a job, you pay taxes. If you want to have a mobile phone, you're going to pay taxes. If you want to go buy some shit, you're going to pay some taxes. If you want to live off the grid, to really pull that off, other than just, you know, ending up a prostitute, sucking cock off of Broadway, yeah, it's hard. You're going to need money to do that. But for the most part, you're still going to pay taxes. Now, I would love to live in a free society where I wasn't paying protection money to bullies. It would be great. But it turns out the magical crocodile, currently, you know, with a representative that has orange hair, yeah, the magical crocodile, I have to feed it. I end up feeding it through my taxes, but I don't have to feed its ego. I don't have to go vote every 4 years saying to myself, well, this time, if my representative to the crocodile wins, everything's going to be so much better. The crocodile will eat fewer babies. Yeah, the crocodile is going to eat as many babies as it wants to. It will set fire to as many towns as it wants to. It simply gets bigger and more diseased. So no. But yeah, not voting. So, you know, so I don't really fit. And I do. I beat up on myself. I think to myself, nobody's a bigger loser than me. I am the world's biggest loser. If I was not here, you know, that's one of the questions that you should ask yourself. It's a good question. And if you want to, don't be really, like, serious about the question. I haven't even asked it yet, but you're going to realize once I ask this question, it's a good question. If you were not around today, if for the whole day you were not around, would you have been missed? For a whole day, if you were not here. For a lot of people, and I feel this way a lot, to be honest with you, I don't think I'd be missed. I mean, one day, I'm currently not working. I currently don't have that many connections. I don't have any real friends. So, you know, I have a few people online I interact with, and I think they're kind of like friends, but do I have people who could, you know, who would ever knock on my door and say, is this person alive or dead? No. And no one on a daily basis would give a shit if I, you know, poked my head outside and walked around and then came back. If I was gone for a whole day, I have to be honest with myself. I don't think anybody would miss me. So then you ask the next question, okay, what if you were gone for a whole week? And this is where that whole church thing comes into play. Like, now I think there's one or two people, maybe, if only for curiosity reasons, and that's really humans, we're very curious at times. I think they would ask, hey, you know, where's your brother? I think it's possible that one or two people would ask that question if I wasn't at church next Sunday. So if I was gone for a week where I missed a day at church, it's possible. I think my sister would wonder where I was, maybe. And I think maybe one or two other people. So if I was gone for a week, you know, yeah, I suppose somebody would miss me. And that's the question, the next question up. If you were gone for a week, would anybody miss you? If you were gone for a year, no one knew where you were just gone. Or worse yet, if you were just dead. You know, how many people would be impacted? How many people would even show up at your funeral or your funeral mass or your wake or whatever? I don't know. I think maybe a couple people in my case, maybe. I know there are a lot of people out there who, you know, I think there are a lot of people in the world who would say, oh, I care about Dan, and they probably do, but we all got problems. I don't know. It's the general question of, do we ever recognize that fact? Like, it's really easy to get caught up in your own personal negativity. It's easy for me to do that. It's easier for me to see myself in terms of, if I was gone for a day, no one would care. Well, you know what? That's true for a lot of people. You see, this is the part where you have to, like, ask yourself this simple question. How different is it for everybody else? You know? And here's where I want to take a segue to scholastics. And I may have mentioned this before, but those scholastic philosophers, those, you know, middle ages, scholastic philosophers like St. Thomas Aquinas, they loved to ask weird questions. They would meditate on really strange conundrums, paradoxes, things that did not seem to have a solution. We've all heard of the how many angels can fit on the head of a pin, blah, blah, blah. That one bores me. But the one that's really interesting, and the one that we sometimes put down because we think it's childish, but it's really not, is, could God create a stone so heavy that God could not pick it up? Like, so heavy that God was not strong enough to pick it up. It makes no sense. It's a lot like one of those Zen koans, you know, what's the sound of one hand clapping? It, you know, I can clap with one hand. So you hear that. So yeah, I can do that. So if I can do that, then one hand clapping seems to have a pretty easy fucking solution. But, you know, really, can God create a stone so heavy, so dense, so heavy that God cannot pick it up? Now you could say, well, this is just ridiculous. And you could even go further and say, Dan, this is devil talk. Well, those scholastics, that St. Thomas Aquinas believed in God. They believed in God. They just, what they wanted was, like, they wanted to prove things. They wanted to actually be able to write a book and say, okay, faith is hard, but here's how you can prove to yourself there is a God. I think, in a sense, they were hoping they would discover perfect proofs for God. You know, I think St. Thomas Aquinas had four or five proofs for God. You know, they were basically based upon the idea of, you know, there can't be a universe unless there's some first thing, first, you know, mover, first force, something like that. But yeah, they would think about these things. They would meditate upon them. And you could say, well, Dan, this is interesting, but what the hell does this have to do with being negative about yourself, or any of us being negative? Well, can you be patient? Because I'm getting there. I think God did create a stone so heavy that God could not pick it up. It's called free will. Free will is a mess. Here's the deal. If you believe the numbers, there's about 8 billion people, 7 to 8 billion people. We can call it 7, but it's probably 8 billion people on planet Earth. Okay? These are people who have problems. They have situations. Some of them don't have enough food. Maybe most of them don't have enough food. It's entirely possible that most of them live in terror. Most of them live a really tough, brutal life. You could even say there are 3 billion people or 4 billion people on planet Earth right now that are just getting by. The number could even be bigger, but we can call it 4 billion. And they are just barely getting by. They are barely surviving. I would contend that at least half the people on planet Earth right now, in one sense or another, are just getting by. And if you add in the things that cannot be measured in a wallet, meaning people who are poor of spirit, well, I think it would be at least half, and perhaps more. So it's easy to sort of, and the thing is, you could say, well, what does that mean? Listen, human beings love to blame God for their problems, and it's easy to do. It's easy to say, holy shit, my wife cheated on me. Why did God do this to me? Listen, God did not cheat on you. Your wife did. Or if you're a wife and your husband does it, or if you're a lesbian wife and your lesbian wife does it, God didn't make somebody cheat on you. God doesn't make people do these things. These are some of the outcomes of free will. Free will is a real pain in the ass because you could imagine God being infinitely, intelligent and knowing everything, that God does know the impacts of your choices, but it's a constant headache. I mean, he's got to think about it every moment of every day until the last human being is gone. And if we all have eternal souls, we're going to be around for a while. So God knows exactly what's going to happen. And there's only one way to do that with free will, and that's to be recalculating every moment of every day. I would say that that would give a person a headache, probably a migraine. Humans make mistakes. We're not perfect. Humans are not infinitely intelligent. We get jealous. We get envious. Humans get obsessed. Humans are capable of doing amazingly cool things and amazingly horrible things. These are just some of the features of people. And so it's easy to say to ourselves, why did God do this? Why did God do that? And it's easy to get stuck there, and especially to say, well, no one has it as hard as me. Well, actually, probably most of the people on the planet right now have it worse than I do. That I'm actually doing better than most of the people on planet Earth. That in a numerical sense, that statement is probably true. This is the thing. And maybe this is a weird podcast, but this is a thing that's really hard to grasp sometimes, to hold on to. It's hard to hold on to the idea that it's entirely possible that there are other people on planet Earth that have problems and they might be as bad or worse than our own. Yet, I'll be blunt, if you walk down the street, you're going to see the reality of human free will everywhere. And it's not all bad. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's random people doing randomly nice shit. It does happen. That's the thing. It doesn't have to be about terrible people randomly doing terrible shit. It could be about people just choosing to do something different and maybe something good. And not something that you get by pointing a gun at somebody's head saying, if you don't help this person, I'm going to kill you. That's how the magical crocodile does business. Okay? That's how the magical crocodile solves problems. If it doesn't like what you're doing, it kills you. But what if you, what if you and I and all of us, and believe me, I don't know. I don't even know how to do this, maybe, but what if we did simply start to just try to be nicer to each other? I don't know. It's crazy. There is a lot of anger and hatred in the world, and I gotta admit, I feel it a lot sometimes. And I don't know if there's a solution sometimes. I do know that one thing I can try to do, and something that I guess we can all try to do, is recognize that other people are in pain. That we're not the only ones in some deep, dark hole. That maybe, and that might be the scariest thing. This is the thing, though. Recognizing that you're not the only one in some sort of deep, dark pain is good, but it can be scary because then you have to admit to yourself that maybe what you're being told about the world, about the nature of reality, is bullshit. This is the thing. That's part of, if you want to know if there's a, if there's some difficult challenge to admitting that other people are feeling as badly as you, is that they have reasons also for being there. It's not all just random bullshit. So anyways, yeah, I think we should all consider the possibility that we're not the only ones feeling like we're living in hell, but then we also have to think about, well, what does that say about the state of humanity? And I don't, and truly, I don't have an answer to that one. I mean, I think some of it you can see in terms of religion, maybe even most of it, but it still doesn't really help. I mean, here's the thing. If you're a Christian and you think these are the end times, and you're in a lot of pain and sadness and anguish over this, and you think there are other people like you, what exactly is the escape hatch other than being saved? Being saved, yes, that is good. It is good to be saved. It is good to make it to heaven, to get there, to spend eternity at the side of your Father. That's a good thing, right? To be saved. But in terms of life here on earth, until that happens, there's a lot of stuff that you have to admit to yourself. If you think that these are the end times, you have to admit a whole bunch of people are going to feel a whole bunch of good old-fashioned earthly pain and anguish and sorrow. And this is something I have to accept. Like, if I believe certain things about the Bible, I have to accept the possibility that, yeah, not all are doomed, but some are. And that's gonna, and that do, being doomed can be pretty terrible, both in terms of this world and the next. Sometimes it's just doom in this world, but in the next you go to heaven. So in this world, maybe you are in a car accident. Maybe you do have some terrible disease in this world, in the next you're in heaven. And that's, and that means you weren't really doomed. You just had to go through some shit. But sometimes people are doomed in both senses. Like, they're doomed here and they're doomed there. Not all are doomed, but not all are saved. This is a brutal fact. This is free will. If you want to know the reality of the world you live in, accept the possibility that, yeah, other people are in pain. And some people respond to pain by trying to figure out a way through it, but without harming other people. And some people respond to pain by becoming pain, by becoming darkness. They respond to darkness by becoming darkness. And if you admit to yourself there's a lot of pain in the world, then you have to also admit the possibility that there's a lot of darkness out there. So yeah, I don't know what to tell people about that question. You know, maybe it's better to pretend. This is the weird thing, and I feel like I almost convinced myself of something terrible, but maybe it's almost better to pretend that you're the only person that feels this shitty. Like, maybe in reality, I've just convinced myself of something really selfish, because if you admit to yourself that a lot of people feel the way you do, then you have to admit to yourself something about the world. And I gotta say, if a lot of people feel the way I do, then yeah, these are kind of dark times, and I don't know any, there are no easy answers. You can't tell people we're all going to meet at Disneyland and we're all going to hug it out. This is not reality. I don't know. This is a pretty dark podcast too. But you know, I was shooting for a positive message, but I think I've come to the realization that maybe there's no such thing. This is the other thing too. If you find this funny, that's probably good. But if you don't, I don't know what to say, but I'm sorry. It's just really, if you accept the idea that other people feel the way you do, and if you feel really terrible about the situation you're in and the world and everything else, then what does that mean exactly? I don't know. I think I'd almost like to say the world is happy and I'm the only sad fuck in it. That's an easier thing to deal with. You know, that's the thing about looking at the world a certain way. It's better if you don't. It's better if you look at it the other way. It's better to see it, you know, from the happy, shiny unicorn fart perspective. Because the dark way is horrible. And if you're stuck in it, you are kind of stuck in a personal hell. You're always questioning the motives of people. You're always questioning, you know, the situation you're in. You think it's going to come to an end. All of it ends. That's a horrible way to go through life. And I'm not saying I'm speaking from experience, but maybe I am. It's horrible to go through life thinking everything is just kind of empty and tenuous and unlikely to have any deep lasting meaning or even to last very long. Everything ends, everything's going to fall apart. And for the human world, I think there's a lot of truth to that. It doesn't mean that when we die, we go to a place like that. I think, you know, through Christ, we don't, right? But on this world, this physical place, it's hard for me to point to anything that I say, this is so worthy. I hope it lasts. This is the problem, is that the things we are building as people, a lot of them aren't worthy of our, you know, support and acknowledgement. So much of it is not worthy to last. Anywho, crap, this is negative. I don't even, what am I going to title this? I think I'll just call this, you know. Okay.